Fanboy Smackdown, episode number 57, Forgetting Sarah Marshall. This one is going to be explicit. Lots and lots of dirty words, kids. Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Adam.
This is Grungy Dan.
This is Jake.
This is Phil.
And this is Paul.
And we are drinking, and we just got back from watching.
Shouldn't that be a given?
Forgetting Sarah Marshall. It should be a given at this point.
Well, actually, we've kind of gotten out of the habit of drinking. Or
should be.
We've started getting back into the habit of drinking. Yeah. So we just got back from watching Forgetting Sarah Marshall Saturday afternoon, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, it was like we walked out and it was still light out.
I couldn't see.
Yeah, I didn't know what to do.
Yeah,
and it was very odd. Too, but it's still bright. It's
like, I wanted to reach for sunglasses, then realized probably wouldn't be able to see anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so this episode, I'm going to say right now, we're going to go ahead and tag this explicit because knowing these jackasses, we're going to be saying fuck a lot.
Well, actually, we walked out and it was bright because we walked out and it was either Phil or Jake went, fuck, and some, like, girl looks over. She's, like, with her grandma. And she just looks over at us like, hey.
You know what the weird one is?
There's lots of old people in that theater.
Yeah. So that's crazy.
And you know what? None of them left.
That was kind of weird. I was really surprised.
I think they were sticking around.
I don't mean regular old. Yeah. I mean, maybe they came from a nursing home old.
That's why they couldn't leave, because the bus wasn't going to
leave. My family! Because they'd all shit themselves, and they didn't want it to run down their leg.
Too soon.
Wow. Okay, so...
this is why you don't have a regular invitation.
So
I'd also like to point out on air that Paul's currently the beer bitch.
Yes, he is. Which, just if this was a vidcast, we just got just precious material there just now.
Just the shrug.
Like, yeah.
Thank you.
He has absolutely no comment to that.
It's a worthy office.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah. I mean, we're relying on Paul.
Mm. Yeah, indeed.
You're very lively.
You are not enjoying that drink.
Utterly disgusted with that drink.
Dude, I drink whiskey all the time, though, so...
Nah, fair enough.
It is pretty nasty. But you guys didn't have anything...
You're going to be awesome.
His description was literally, I don't know, I just mixed a bunch of stuff together.
And right now it tastes terrible.
It does taste terrible right now. But I'm sure eventually it will taste better. Or I'll lose my taste buds and it won't matter. Okay, so the movie...
Yeah.
This movie is...
Penis.
Yeah, yes. Let's go ahead and give a spoiler alert, Phil. You see dude's junk in this movie.
Yeah, I actually have a pretty... I think what is almost a coherent thought about that. Because yes. I was sitting there... I was sitting there and, you know, I don't know why... But, like, it's immediately obvious that it's coming up. Because the dude drops the towel. And you know it's a Judd Apatow film. Okay? We got fucking... Will Ferrell's buttocks, you know, are like half of why people think old school is funny. I don't know why they think old school is funny. But, so, what's up?
That's another day.
Yeah, yeah, old school is funnier than
we'll get to that part. But okay, about all the junk seeing, like, everybody is, like, losing their minds. Oh my god, a penis, ew. As if we don't all have them in this room.
No, I thought it was hysterical.
It was funny, but I think
funniest part about it was watching Phil.
Okay, yeah, watching Phil was funny, but I think what struck me was, like, that is only going to work on, like, an American audience, and I realize, you know, 99% of the people that will see that movie, American audience, but the thing is, it's like, it's all shock value, and it's kind of it was total... Not shock value in the way that, like, I didn't expect to see a penis, but, like, they just kept doing it.
I know.
Over
that
and
was
over.
The point. That was hilarious. But I think what was even more funny about the penis was watching the chick's reaction to it.
Yeah.
Because you could tell that the actress was noticeably unnerved by it. And then he's like, well, let's hug. And she's like, you just see her not as the character. So you guys,
but you guys didn't get the sense that it was maybe not in there because of the shock value they knew it was going to get, but they kept extending it just because they knew that American audiences are uncomfortable with that and they're going to have some kind of reaction.
I thought it was fucking hilarious.
I think it made a very, what should have been a very uncomfortable scene in a comedy, funny.
Yeah.
Because it was the breakup scene.
Yeah,
I mean, no surprise, she breaks up with him. That's what this movie's about. But it made a scene that should have been really dark and heavy, funny, without really cutting to any jokes about breaking up.
Yeah.
I like to imagine that's something that's actually happened to the writer of the film. That exact scene. And he started laughing out loud while it was happening, and he realized, this is hilarious. I'm totally over this breakup because my joke's funny.
I don't know that I'd want my joke to be that funny, though.
Actually,
impressive, yes. Mm.
Not.
Like, oh, I completely don't know why I'm breaking up with you. I'm
awed by this.
Yes.
Awed by my own stuff. Okay. Well, actually, what I think was one of the most effective gags in the movie was right at the beginning, when they're not relating to the shock value itself, but they're preparing you, like, you know this, that you're going to see this guy's genitals soon, but before they show you, he does a little slap. So what's funny is like that happens before you see it, so it's kind of a psych out, and after you've seen his junk multiple times, you've forgotten about that, but if you think about it in retrospect, that's funnier now.
Well, yeah, because you actually have the visual.
Right. Like, you think maybe they're not going to show it.
For the rest of our
lives. Think, okay, they're not going to show it.
Well, except for Phil, because he covered his eyes.
Oh my god, it's a dick!
See, that's what I'm talking about right there, though. That's what I'm talking about.
You sounded
about right
just
there.
Like Phil.
Yeah. I was laughing.
I would love to think that they were going beyond the, oh my god, shock value, to the, I know this is going to unnerve and make people uncomfortable, so I think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Then,
well, yeah,
I'm much more okay with
you
it.
You broke the fourth wall!
I enjoy the comedic value of the penis. I wish it was employed more often.
Penis is funny looking.
It is.
Okay, so
when he bent over, that was
sliding down. That
was the best part.
Absurdly hilarious.
That was priceless.
Give me a second.
No.
You almost have to wonder if they were trying to get Mila Kunis to take her top off for that one scene, and they're like, "No, we'll get him to take his stuff off, and he'll have to show his junk to people. If you show us your boobs." You have to imagine that happened somewhere in the negotiations to get her to make the movie.
Yeah.
All right, so what the movie is about, just on real general terms, since we're probably supposed to be talking about the movie.
The breakup and Peter getting over her.
Yeah. Peter gets dumped by Sarah Marshall, who is basically, she's on a show kind of like CSI. That is ridiculously over the top.
Only better.
Baldwin guy.
With Billy Baldwin playing David Caruso. It was so funny. He did the exact CSI Miami sunglasses thing. It was hilarious.
And what I liked is they actually had real actors playing themselves for some of that stuff. Comes to find out that, you know, he has a hard time getting over her. He tries to avoid her by going to a place that she talked about, Hawaii. Gets there. Runs into her because she's vacationing there with her new boyfriend.
The new old boyfriend.
Yeah. As far as spoilers go for this movie, if you want to see the movie,
stop listening.
We're going to spoil
it. Now.
It's a comedy. There's not really a whole lot to the dramatic element that we're going to ruin. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll probably ruin some jokes for you. But
we'll ruin the jokes,
I'm
going to
complain about the attempts at dramatic element.
Oh yeah, so. Yeah, you have seen this story before,
except without penis.
That's a big sticking point for you, isn't it?
Yes,
that's the climax.
Okay, so that out of the way, go.
I love
where
certain
do you want to start?
Trouble.
Where,
I'm okay. going to go with... I'm
just
gonna go
let's just take the temp of the room. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
All right.
What do you guys think?
Okay, I'm not generally a huge Apatow fan.
Okay.
But I will give this one, like, a freaking almost a thumbs up.
Semi-wood?
Yeah, semi-wood. It's chubby.
About a 9?
It's chubby, but I couldn't use it.
Chubby,
but... You have to thumb it in.
Phil. I'm going to go with the thumbs up, fully aroused. So.
Hi.
That's it.
Hi. do you want a gag?
The rest of this podcast is going to be 45 minutes of us saying one word and then laughing about it.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump on.
And Jake's going to have to leave to pee in a second. He just keeps laughing.
I almost spewed beer on my nose. So.
I'm going to give this movie a thumbs up. I thought it was really good.
Yeah,
all right.
And romantic comedy is not really my favorite genre, but it was Paul,
awesome.
I mean,
I liked it. It was good and funny, but I don't know if I would pay to see it.
Yeah, agreed.
No, just
I
in general. Like,
I
general.
Would appreciate
I think
it
that
more
for
as
me,
like a drunken party, somebody else rented it movie.
For me,
yeah.
It scales of I would see this in theater, I would own this, I would rent this, I would see this if somebody else, you know, was paying for it and I didn't have to pay anything. And I don't want to watch it
yeah.
at all. And for me, it's I wouldn't pay for it.
I probably wouldn't.
I would enjoy it, but
it.
Wouldn't pay for
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I think a big, like the big one for me that keeps me from enjoying it more, and I think it's probably, it's the same thing for me that I've run into in his other movies, is the comedy, some of the scenes where it's funny are brilliant, like the table scene. When they're sitting there at dinner together and they're having all the wine and stuff.
Yeah.
That was a brilliant scene. But that gets completely trounced and obliterated and wiped out of your mind by how horribly stupid and tropey and banal all the dramatic sort of serious scenes are. And he's got a horrible habit in his movies of making those scenes. And I don't know whether he's focusing on them and trying to make them as ridiculous as they are, or as they come across, or if he's actually trying to make a serious scene and just failing miserably at it. Because every time they're on screen and they're trying to be serious, I'm just like, oh, come the fuck on, this is so stupid.
Almost every other joke is framed.
Yeah.
And if he was trying to be absurd on purpose, I think it would be framed differently.
Yeah, I agree.
Definitely.
Yeah, I can see that. So it's really just like he tries to get... It's not quite as bad as, but it's the same feeling that I get when they just come on in the corner of the screen and go, message! So that's kind of what struck me about the serious scene.
Which one scene are you talking about now? What scene? Give me one scene in the movie that you're talking about, because I'm not sure exactly which scene specifically.
Let me go with, for example, and it does lead, it kind of keeps the plot rolling along, so I guess it succeeds there, but he goes back to Sarah's room. Sarah has just been dumped. Okay, what do you know is going to fucking happen? And maybe that's because it is romantic comedy and everything is formulaic and we know all the 7 stories or whatever. Maybe that's what it is for me and I just can't get past that, and maybe that's a personal thing. But to me, it's like, you know, there's a new way to do that. There has to be a refreshing way to do the accidental whoops almost got to back together scene or whatever. So he goes to her room.
Have been licking the tip?
He can't get wood in that scene.
I don't think that, and I've never seen a romantic comedy that has taken it from that angle.
No.
Yeah,
I really can't.
Okay, I mean, I'm probably picking a bad example scene, though. But if that's the general concept, is like the scene.
No, but
where,
that's the scene you commented on.
Yeah,
during the film. That is the scene you commented on during the film.
I know what you're saying, though, is that it's the...
I think he took what was a trope and then made it ridiculous.
Yeah.
And showed it probably in a more realistic light.
Because, you know, in the beginning of the movie, you know exactly what the entire movie's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
it's not a big surprise.
You know, well, at the end, he's going to fall for this one chick, and then he's going to mess up with the other chick, and then that one chick's going to get pissed, and then in the end she's going to show up.
Maybe I'm just so absolutely fucking tired of tropes and, like, standard scenes that I just don't care.
I think you just don't like romantic
comedy.
See, except...
No, dude, believe it or not, like, I've actually started warming back up to them, and I won't get into the reasons that I had gone away from them, but for example, like, I can watch something like, I'll say this, and I don't give a damn. Matchmaker, great fucking movie. Total romantic comedy. Oh, you should totally watch it. It's awesome.
Which one was that?
It's, okay, you've got to...
I've probably seen it. I've seen
it. Gene Garofalo plays this politician's campaign manager, and he gets it in his head that he's going to track down his Irish roots to use sort of that whole down home, back to the roots message.
No, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, it's really freaky. So, let me just say that maybe it's not that I don't like romantic comedies. I don't like romantic comedies that suck.
Hello. I'll go with you there because there are a lot of them that do just suck.
Yeah.
And then you've got
a movie with nothing new.
Well, yeah, and then you've got a movie like The Breakup, which was
brilliant.
It was a genius movie where it was completely marketed as a romantic comedy, which is completely false. I mean, they completely dropped the ball on marketing that movie. And that movie delivered.
I think they did it.
That movie absolutely. I don't know because there was a lot of people walked out of that movie completely pissed off after they saw it. My wife being one of them. Me on the other hand, I now own a copy of the DVD. But
take that, wife.
Yeah, I made her.
Paul's
buy it,
trying man. To say something.
I made her buy
he's
it.
He's been trying to say, and I think he agrees with me. So let him say it.
No, it's. I don't know. I may not
Maybe
agree
not.
With you, but it's that. I think the problem is that you. In general, the main character seems like you don't care about him. He's so much of his, I don't know how I should say it, so much of his misery and his pathos was made a joke up until that point that you can't take it seriously and you care less about him, so you care less about what happens in that scene. That's what that's what I feel. I love romantic comedies. That's one of the things I'm really into, and I'll admit, that kind of shit makes me cry when it's a good, poignant scene. But yeah. I did not give a shit whether they got back together or what happened. And I think that's because so much is made a joke up to that point that...
I guess maybe not exactly that then, because I'm, like, I almost, like, because I
it wasn't poignant. It wasn't poignant,
with
that's what I think.
See, I don't know, maybe it's for me, like, they're I'm waiting for the poignancy, and they go for the banal.
Yes. It turns what would have been a poignant scene into a gag so much that it's a gag entirely instead.
It's way more comedy than
I skip straight to being pissed off that they're
and they do that repeatedly,
and then
you stop caring.
And then the romantic just feels disingenuous, right? Right, I understand where you're coming from, and I kind of agree with that.
Except for when that one puppet's like, I'm pregnant.
That was hilarious.
Splort.
That was hilarious.
Explode baby Dracula. Her vajayjay was painted.
See, I was waiting for poignant, and it just...
didn't go.
Going from a discussion of the banal and poignant to exploding with JJ's
Dracula's puppets.
This is what this show is all about.
So let me ask the question: what did you think about the Europop guy?
I thought he was hysterical.
Dude, he was the embodiment of that other asshole that she leaves you for. That is the perfect fucking character.
And what was really great was just how cool he was.
And then
the character even says that.
He's so cool.
You're cool.
So many reasons to hate you, but God damn it, you're cool.
Yeah, he goes back and forth between being a good gag and he's actually kind of a guy you care about because the stuff he says is relevant.
Yeah.
Like, he totally calls out Sarah Marshall multiple times.
I loved it when she called him out, too.
And
that was classic.
Is that he is not just a dick to hate. He's also a relevant character who says relevant things.
Yeah.
So
it was a fucking horrible movie.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That scene was brilliant.
Yeah.
Man,
it's just a metaphor for a crap movie.
It's a metaphor for a crap movie.
Yeah. He might be a dick, but he's right, so I have to pay attention to him.
and that character was very consistent throughout. I mean, they didn't make him based on the scene just to make him the gag of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That character stayed consistent throughout.
They didn't even screw with, like, they left open the, well, I've got all these tattoos for the years that I've been sober, and well, if I had one drink, I'd just relapse and go crazy, and I'd be sucking dick for a crack rock or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, so you at that point, you expect.
Yeah, at some point, he's going to get drunk in the movie.
Right. Yeah, and then I expected during the dinner scene, but they didn't even go there.
Yeah.
Well, they did, kind of.
No, he wasn't drinking.
But he did.
He was drinking cranberry juice.
No, he was drinking cocktails.
No.
Cranberry
no,
juice.
No, the guy said, I can even dig you up some cranberry juice cocktail if you want.
Throw some orange juice.
I don't care.
The fact that there's a debate right now is exactly what I'm talking about. They didn't go there.
Yeah, they didn't.
I mean, because...
But they seemed to.
Even if he was drinking the alcohol...
No, because they were all loopy. No, yeah, they were all loopy, and he was the one who was normal.
Yeah, and he deliberately pours the drink
on himself.
I guess at that point...
You were just waiting for him to go off.
It's implied so heavily.
Yeah.
You know what?
It may even be that that's what they were going for, but it's too...
And maybe
non-definite.
Well, and maybe it's something we'll see like
the
deleted scenes or something too.
Yeah.
If that's what they were going for, what would that accomplish? I don't see any reason to.
No, I agree. I don't think they even filmed it.
I see either that, or they were just going for the fact that he is as open sober as most people are when they're drunk.
I think that fits too, because I mean, even before they ever got around to him mentioning the problems he had had. I really think that he was probably one of the more genuine characters.
Yeah. Because of dick he was, he was honest.
Yeah, exactly. He was a total dick, and so that's one reason for thinking that he probably wasn't drinking.
Well, I assumed they were going to do is, as soon as he said that, he's like, okay, well, this is what's going to happen. He's going to get drunk, and something's going to happen, and then Sarah Marshall's going to be like, oh, I've run away with this drunk bastard guy. I'm really in love with What's-His-Face. And that's how I thought the rest of the movie was going to go.
Turns out you were only wrong because it happened like 15 minutes later.
Yeah. Different circumstances. I knew it was coming. Yeah. So.
I'm going on tour. I didn't bring that up just like I didn't bring up that I have herpes.
It's just not inflamed.
That was awesome. Sarah Marshall.
Yeah.
What did you think about her?
Oh God. She was set up
I didn't
to
like
hate.
Her.
Yeah.
She was absolutely set up.
You know what? they do this in a lot of romantic comedies, but they do it from the flip. Excuse me, where you see the guy who's being the dick to the girl.
Yeah.
And you know, he broke up with her, and then it's all a matter of reversing it. Mm. Where she broke up with him at the beginning, he's the one in mourning. He's the one acting like the chick. They make that joke a lot.
The crying lady from the top floor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think she's a floor above me.
No, you're on the top floor.
But at the same time, they get to a point in the movie where they have to reverse it, and they have to give you a reason why she did this horrible thing to
him. Yeah, I was going to say, too, that scene...
And that's a trope anymore, too.
That
has become a trope of romantic comedies that... The guy has to be
wrong,
a dick at some point.
Yeah.
Because that's why she did what she did. You know, he became distant and
I actually thought they did a fairly. That's another one because amongst all these gags and all these setups,
that scene was almost genuine.
Almost genuine, where she was actually genuinely upset that he didn't realize what he had been doing. The problem I had
was... Well, that's genuine, period.
But the problem I had was we never realize what we've done wrong. I think part of it for me was you're just expected... You've been sympathizing with this character, Peter. You've been sympathizing, and you're supposed to like him through the whole movie.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, with not really any lead-in or any setup or any real proof or any of this, she just spouts out all why he's a dick or why he was a jerk. You're just supposed to accept that and feel like, well, maybe she's not a bitch. But it didn't work at all because she's still a total bitch.
It's because she's
but at the same time,
from your point of view.
At the same time, if you start looking at it from her side, because you've only seen it from his side at that point.
Right.
Now, if you backtrack and look at it, you look at it honestly, that the place he was living was a pit.
Yeah.
He eats fucking tricks.
Fruit Loops.
Yeah, Fruit Loops out of a mixing bowl. Which
I'll give you that. Like, I can't deny
that that happens. But
I love it. Some days you just need a big bowl of cereal.
Yes, you do. So I mean, we can kind of flipping it and reversing it, we can see why that was her thing.
But
why did she take it to that level? Why didn't she? I mean, What she says she said something about it.
Yeah,
but we don't know.
Well, I mean, you kind of
and at that point you have to
accept the exposition because
exposition.
Well, I mean, but from everything is from Peter's point of view, and
but he can't deny it. I mean, he does nothing to deny it. So it's I mean, you have to accept that it's
because
that's
he
really
grows as a character at that point.
Yeah.
He's not just I'm going to be a bigger dick now because you just made me mad or anything like that. He didn't
throw it back in her face and be like, well, you were doing this, and this.
Right.
Well, yeah. I mean,
although she threw it back during the movie,
at that point she threw it back in his face. That he was lazy and he didn't live his life because he found out that she had been cheating on him for a year. So, I mean, there was nothing at that point he could throw back in her face. He already threw it.
Although, during the movie, Adam goes, oh, it has to be the guy's fault.
That was me. Yeah, it's always the guy's fault in these fucking movies. It's ridiculous.
I don't know.
Even when it's fucking guy's fault.
I think they did a good job of showing us everybody fucked up.
Everybody. Maybe that's another thing that it was more true to life a little bit in that respect, because nobody's ever like the angel,
which made it make more sense when Rachel was like, "I've been in that place before. Just leave. I'm not gonna have anything to do with somebody who's in your place right now."
Yeah,
and you want them to have that kind of scene where he leaves and he gives her the photo. And where
she runs back, chase after him.
But they delay that because it's more realistic and because she's the one of the whole group who's got her shit together.
Mostly.
She doesn't have her shit together.
I wouldn't say she saw her boyfriend and like that she was
seriously ghetto on him.
It was a realistic response though.
Yeah.
Like if you saw somebody.
So the thing is, I mean, just being angry and acting out your anger, we're in a society where people talk down about violence constantly.
I don't want to talk about it.
Like if I saw brown teeth.
I don't know what that's about, but I almost spit.
Yeah, well, we're in a society where that emphasis, is no violence, violence is bad, but anger and that those kind of responses are natural. Where Sarah and what is even the main character's name?
Peter. Because he's a dick.
I can't even remember because he's so not the script.
Totally. He really is.
He's supposed to be every man. I think they pulled that off really well.
He has almost no characteristics.
Right.
But every experience you see, you share with him.
Yeah.
It's you. Yeah. Like something. Go ahead.
Right, so Peter and Sarah don't think they respond to their problems properly. They don't show their emotions. It's just like she's like, "I'm leaving you," and he's like, "This sucks. Just hold me." And then she's like, "Okay, I'm see you later." And then he goes through all these stupid behaviors of trying to sleep with chicks. He can't figure himself out. And even though Rachel freaks out on her boyfriend and shit, she's fucking honest. She's a real person.
Well, that's
and
true. Her, because
and,
he's
anger,
totally
anger and her
there.
Love and all those things are genuine.
Yeah,
whereas
yeah.
I don't feel it as genuine from the other characters.
Yeah, I agree.
Except for maybe that big Hawaiian dude.
Dude, he's awesome.
He was awesome.
Seriously, I lived in Hawaii for 4 years. That guy's over there, and he's totally awesome.
You need the
did he give you a beer?
Yeah, he totally gave
you a
beer.
Produced from nowhere.
How did he know?
It was his crack.
Back pocket.
Boy, this is a warm beer.
Will you help me cook?
Yeah.
Will you help? He killed a pig.
That
was awesome.
Oh God, I don't want to do this.
I'm so sorry. You can stop crying. I'm not crying. You're crying.
I love it. You stop crying.
You're crying.
At that point, the movie could have turned into a buddy comedy with those two from there on out.
Yeah.
And I would have totally accepted it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy was awesome.
Yeah.
He needs a movie to himself.
You know, I think the more we talk about this movie, the more I think it's my favorite Jedi.
Yeah. See, unfortunately, that's a fucking effect you had with Tony. Man, did you watch No Country for Old Men?
Yeah, fucking awesome.
Yeah, after that episode,
I watched it and I was like, God damn it, I hate this movie. And so I fucking roll up to the FPSD episode and I'm like, Tony, I hate this movie. And then by the end of it, I'm like, damn, Tony, this is a great movie. What the fuck is going on?
I really want to see that.
So we're about halfway on the drink. How's the drink so far?
It's getting better.
Alright. I don't know that it's getting better.
He's getting awesomer. Drunk.
I am getting awesomer.
I wanted to go back to the scene right after he breaks up with Sarah. And then they're in the bar. And then he has all the one-night stands. That's hilarious.
I just came.
Yeah, oh, that girl.
She's completely dead fish. Hi. Yeah.
Hi.
You want to gag me? Right there. I mean,
I'm like,
okay,
yes!
See, that at that point, my brain thought the movie could have ended because, oh, you found the perfect woman. Like,
yeah. You want to gag me?
Yeah,
you
I
are into
doing
gags, handcuffs, and who knows what else.
What I liked...
She was saying hi on purpose.
What I like is the point when Sarah is trying to get back with him, and he's like, yeah, use your mouth a little bit. And then she stops. It's the only time in the scene when she is not talking. And he's just, he seems finally at peace. And that's the first thing of the whole scene. And you know it's not just because he's getting a hummer. It is because
it's
silent.
It's so annoying.
He's kind of a curious look on his face. He's just like, what is... And at that point, you can tell he knows that he's going to leave her and not stay with her, but he's totally fine. He's like, you know, keep going.
That whole
she's
thing
like, some more?
That
he couldn't hurt to try, is what he says. It couldn't hurt to try some more.
When he gave in, I was like...
Yeah, I was pissed.
This just fucking
I was mad.
And I wasn't even pissed the way they would want you to be pissed, which is like, oh, don't do it. I was pissed because, oh, the scene is so fucking tired.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, half the audience went, oh.
But then they turned it.
And Gringy Dan goes, oh, there we go.
Yeah. I did, didn't I? Yeah.
I like the way that they handled the trope.
Yeah.
I thought they handled the trope really well.
They twisted it and came up with something new.
Yeah, and
she can't get it up.
He didn't get wood because he wasn't attracted to her.
And then he was pissed. Like after that, he didn't just like slink back into his like warm up to Rachel
AFC
thing. He was pissed. He was like,
I gave him that. Yeah,
well,
he's like,
why? Hey, really fucking original.
When he was, I think what made that line even better is the fact that he had been at that wedding just a little bit prior, like throwing flowers.
Like, what's even better is the door and their window was open.
No, they were all watching.
They were watching.
They had been watching that whole thing.
Yes.
Hey, look, that dude's getting a Hummer.
Kind of.
You know what that's called? It's called Blue Balls.
Yeah. That was a good character, too.
Yeah.
All the support staff, the bar guy.
I didn't really like
the surfer guy.
Yeah, he was
he's only in
face.
Those movies because they're
the weed. The weed line
shit.
Was funny, though.
Or the married couple.
The fact that he's set up...
Because you expect him to say, you know what really helps? Surfing. And he goes, you know what really helps?
Or pussy
weed.
Or something. Yeah.
Like, you got any? No.
Let's go surfing.
I thought
Jonah Hill's
so
character was tired, though.
Was awesome.
Oh, I totally misheard you, though. I thought you were talking about the little, like, waiter guy.
No,
server.
No, yeah, Jonah Hill's character, at first it was funny, but then...
He got really fucking
annoying.
Really
they kept doing the
and
same gag over and over again.
It was the same
old
guy from Superbad.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
like,
knocked up.
But
I didn't think it was the same characters in Superbad. In Superbad, he had a real personality, and he didn't care about that shit. This guy was totally tied up in this... Fucking rock musician.
I think the only thing that redeemed him being in that movie at all was setting up the line like, oh, I was going to listen to your demo, but then I went on living my life.
if the whole purpose of that character was for that line, I'm kind of okay.
Yeah.
Anything that made the rocker guy seem more cool.
You know, and I really liked how he helped the married couple.
Yeah,
it was hilarious.
With,
guy
who plays the guy who plays Kenneth on 30 Rock, and he gives him the sex lesson with the chess piece with
giant
the oversized
chess pieces.
Is
he and his wife
on a public beach
in Hawaii, and they show scenes.
I'm off to look for the
mythical
clitoris.
And they have no idea how to have sex because of their religion, apparently. And he's like,
Christ between your thighs.
That was a great joke.
Oh, man.
If God was, like, designing a city, a layout for a city with the playground
I was actually mad that they put that joke in there.
I know.
It's...
Well, I mean, it kind of fits with his character because he's like old.
I mean, he's that
God put
character.
Your mouth
he's
on your face for a reason.
Yeah.
No.
Stop.
I enjoyed this. I don't think it was as good as Superbad was.
No.
I think it was better than Knocked Up.
I think...
I didn't bother with Knocked Up.
See, I thought Knocked Up
so I've got no opinion on that.
I haven't seen
Knocked Up. You know, I saw Knocked Up, and I don't remember much of it at this point. I mean,
it's just not that memorable.
Why did you compare it to Superbad?
He produced. He didn't write it.
He produced this one, too. All he did was produce this one,
really. Well, it's the kind of, like, realistic comedies, like the junk scenes.
Yeah.
Or the scenes where, like, they're at the beach and she goes fucking apeshit and she's like, fuck you, get the fuck out! And then they get into a fist fight and shit. And it's, like, not the pop romantic comedy.
Like, let me give you an example of that one. Fucking anything with that, damn it. Along Came Polly.
Jennifer Aniston. Ben Stiller?
No.
Shit. Those were the two.
Anyway, that's a good enough example, though. Along Came Polly. Oh, those pop cult, like, sort of like, it's a romantic comedy for its own sake.
It's too soft. It's not real enough for me.
It was like a dude's romantic comedy, almost.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a terrible romantic comedy. Like,
this movie.
I actually liked
Along Came Polly. No, I meant Forgetting Sarah Marshall
is a dude's romantic comedy. I think it was focused a lot more on the comedy than the romantic.
Well,
I made the romantic into the comedy.
I guess I kind of liken it almost like Superbad is in that trope of the high school friends who are breaking up category.
It's Porky's,
but it is.
It's Porky's for this generation.
Exactly. It's that new current style.
But it's so fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
that it's on another planet compared.
It is because like we were talking about in The Escape from New York. It is the style of my generation.
Right.
That is
Porky's
the style.
Was the style
exactly?
Like,
that is the style that defines my generation.
Yeah.
That in your face, they go for the shock value of the junk. The guys who are sitting around, like a lot of those conversations between Evan and the fat guy. We had those conversations in high school.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, that's what I identify with, and that's exactly how I identify with this romantic comedy.
I got to give you that one because that like a lot of the stuff with Peter that you know he's supposed to be the everyman you're supposed to, but I really have been through several like identical freaking situations to the ones that the main character goes through in this. So.
Dancing around naked with your penis slit.
Yes. You know, I can't tell you how much fun that is.
Resting on the edge of your cereal bowl.
Yes. Except
you
prefer the glass mixing bowl because the spoon scraping across the metal.
I think this movie was more along the lines of what people thought the breakup was going to be.
Yeah.
Based on how it was marketed, because I think people thought more comedy and happy ending, where the breakup wasn't.
Wait, don't ruin it.
No, I'm just kidding.
It's already been on the podcast once before, so.
Oh, did you guys do Breakup?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
I don't remember. It was like in episode 10 or something like that.
Backlog.
Yeah. Back in the day, we did that one.
I really like the jump scene. Where they jumped over the edge of the cliff. Because you expect them to just kind of hop, and then they just, like, make out in the water or whatever. It was hilarious. They used, like,
I just like seeing Mila Kunis in those little shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they could have made a better joke out of him not being out of breath and just lagging back to watch.
Yeah.
Mm. I really like the jump joke, though. It set up the kiss.
Yeah, I was okay with the kiss.
Yeah.
I'm a little over the kiss after the
daring.
Awkward
near death
experience. Yeah.
Yeah. She had a nice ass.
Phil,
she has
bring
a nice,
back to reality.
She has a nice everything.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. That begs the question, gentlemen. Mila Kunis or
Kristen
Bell?
Sarah
Marshall.
Mila Kunis, without question.
Yeah, not even a fucking competition.
Yeah. Although the first scene where you see Kristen Bell in Hawaii, which she's got just the top with the abs,
she's attractive, but I mean,
I had to go Sarah Marshall.
One, she's blonde.
Yeah.
And, you know.
I'll go with Mila Kunis.
I'll go with Mila Kunis.
Yeah,
also.
Me too.
Mila for
sure.
Adam's like,
Adam's the lone holdout. Adam's
the
lone holdout.
You guys can all fight over Mila Kunis. So. Sweep in and take my prize.
Oh. I
Yeah, I don't really have anything else on this.
Yeah.
Animal. What else is there to talk about on this?
I don't know. What else you want to talk about? We can talk about something.
What do you think about the delayed resolution? Like, yeah. Her not.
I knew it was coming.
You knew it was coming, so I guess it really isn't that. We covered that
where it made more sense of her. Like,
It was nice seeing him go through the change in himself without the expectation that he was going to get her back.
Yeah, I'll give you that. And I actually liked the scene where she said, "Just don't fucking talk to me."
Because it wasn't
this long, drawn out thing.
That's true. Like,
yeah, blah blah blah. I can chase. Blah blah blah. It was just don't talk to me. Leave.
Bye.
And he's like, okay.
You get the impression that she's doing that for him, a little bit, but
because she knows exactly what he's meant.
Such a little piece that you're like, yeah, you kind of ignore it.
A lot of that's what I was talking about. That's why I keep drawing resemblances between this movie and The Breakup, because in The Breakup, where they said, you know, they did stuff like, just don't fucking talk to me again, and they didn't.
Yeah.
You know, there was no, you know, she walks out and you expect him to run after, and he's like, shrugs, that's it, she's gone, whatever. You know, and that's, I think that's what made that movie brilliant, is how they didn't end up coming back to those tropes.
Yeah.
They set you up with the trope, but never paid it off. They never paid off.
Now, is this going to become the new trope, though? Like, set you up for it and then deny?
No, because that's really the only movie that I've seen in recent memory that's done that. I mean, this movie didn't do it. This movie still paid off the trope.
Yep. Yeah,
they did it in a different way. They did it in an inventive.
Yeah, but he's going to hook up with a new chick. I mean, you just know.
Well, that's what I mean.
And that's the trope that they pay off. He powers up at the end, so that
he can achieve her.
It'd really be a drag if she just didn't show up.
I almost would have.
It wouldn't feel resolved.
Though.
Yeah.
But the other trope that they could have done is they, like, both, like, grow old yearning for each other separately, and it's kind of like they both talk to each other.
You know, I would have actually been okay.
Later.
I would have actually been okay if he would have sent her that, and she didn't, you know, they had the scene where he did that, he didn't show up, they show him a couple of years later, and he gets an invitation to her graduation, and he doesn't show up to that. And end the movie right there.
I would have been fine with that. I thought that would have been spiteful. Yeah, and it wouldn't have fit his character at all.
Yeah.
He's this super sweet guy.
If the character changed and grew, I think that would have been reasonable.
As soon as he comes back from Hawaii, all it is, every single scene is about how he has changed.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it's how he fixed the problems he had before, not how he turned into a spiteful bastard.
But why does Rachel change, though? You never see anything about that. Why does she just show up?
It's because she always cared about him, and she has reason to believe he's in a different place now.
Yeah.
No, she doesn't.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, yes,
the fact
does.
He completed his rock opera.
He did nothing but talk about how, I might finish it. It's so hard. Oh, like being that guy that never follows through and never goes for it.
As soon as he becomes that guy, he becomes that guy, and then the bartender talks to her.
Well, the bartender
she knows he finished it because he sent her a fucking flyer. She could have walked into that building and it would have been him standing there with roses. And it would have been like,
hold on. We know he's not dishonest, so that wouldn't have worked.
But how does she know that?
I think she's got plenty.
Yeah. Oh, how does she know he's not dishonest?
Yeah, he got his dick sucked by his ex, and he told her.
So what?
So he's honest.
Okay, well, it doesn't matter, because I don't think that at that point, he is, when he tells her
we gotta keep this going a while, because Paul's gotta piss.
When he tells her about the musical he's working on, he doesn't give her the impression that he's not going to finish it.
He never once does.
And in fact, when she says, get up there and sing it, he doesn't cop out. He gets up there and sings it.
Because she forces him. He was a pussy, we know that.
He didn't puss out.
No, but the thing is, and that was just
because
the first
she made him, because
step.
She helped him change.
That was just the first step.
Don't let him yell, I'm turning it down.
That was the first step of his exposure to her making him grow.
Yes.
That's all they were showing us. I agree with you.
That is his exposure to why she is awesome for him.
Right.
But it says nothing about why she would think that it is a good fit for them. Just because she forces him to do something, and he does it. What are you saying? Why is that a motivation for her?
What?
Because it was a shove in the right direction, and she knew he still was not there yet at the destination yet. And that's why she was like, get the fuck out of here. I don't want to see you again. And then when he finally did get to that point, that destination, when he has finished, completed, he has become a man, basically. It's very much coming of age as a romantic person.
Okay, have you seen the breakup?
No.
Okay, this movie parallels the breakup in so many ways. Because,
as evidenced by Tony's reluctance to stop mentioning it.
Exactly. And Jake can attest to this because he apparently, you know, wet himself when I mentioned it before. The parallels of character. Go ahead and take a leak.
Oh my
we'll
God.
Talk about something else.
There was like a six pack in there.
Is this going to be a devastating piss?
We'll probably pick it up on the mic if it is.
Yeah, I'll leave the door open.
Please don't.
Only he'll come back
over. So now what are we going to talk about while we're waiting for Paul?
Oh, I'll keep talking. I don't care.
I'm taking Paul's spot.
Dude. Okay.
Now you're beer business.
So with
ask me for a beer. See if you get it.
We don't like
with the
there.
Breakup. With the breakup, the characters were basically the same. The guy was kind of a lazy slob, and she had her thing going, and that's kind of why they broke up. And then he goes through this wild phase. She goes through a wild phase. They both try to do things to make each other jealous. In the end, they do not get back together. You see them after a period of time, after they have both changed, they have both grown, they bump into each other on the street, and they both kind of say, hey, nice to see you, you're looking good, and walk their separate ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm cool with that.
I bet that's why
I'm absolutely fine with
that.
That's
why your wife was pissed off.
It's absolutely why she was pissed off.
Because it didn't.
Because
it
she
didn't
was
resolve.
Expecting an ending like this movie did.
Yeah.
Had. Which, you know, now that I think about it, I mean, we've already said they took all those tropes, twisted them a little, but always paid them off in the same way.
Yep.
So this movie had to end the way it did.
You know what I would have been fine with, though? You were saying the spiteful sort of ending a minute ago, but one ending
it's not spiteful, it's realistic.
No, I agree with Paul, it would have been totally spiteful. I don't think it would have fit
the
character.
I think it would be realistic, too.
But one, I could have seen him sending the flyer off, she doesn't show up, kind of fade to black, or even, like, screw the flyer thing where he sends it to her. He goes through all these changes, he becomes, like, the complete person, and then just meets somebody else. Finishes his musical, does or doesn't meet somebody else, and it just ends. I could have seen that just as easily, but
I don't know,
with
that,
all the other
that
tropes,
that wouldn't have set up the scene where they actually show the musical. What did you guys think of that? By the way,
that was hilarious.
It was awesome.
I want the soundtrack to get both the songs from the musical and the songs
small
from
song he sang.
From the couple of songs that he sang. The Euro pop star.
Oh,
I don't remember his name.
Yeah, that guy was terrible.
I love the music video
deep
they show. Sodomize intolerance. He has
that was
flash
awesome.
Cards.
That was great.
He has huge cards. How can you see him?
That guy was
line?
Great.
Yeah.
Every scene with that guy
my
was great.
My favorite line of his, they're laying in bed, and she's like, and Sarah Marshall says, your music really sucks. And he goes, well, I just fucked the housekeeper 2 days ago. And I'm like, awesome. Like, guys,
when she was like, hey, I've got all this. You know what? Having all these tattoos doesn't make you like a citizen of the
this
world.
Is
it makes you
this is
fucking full of shit. I thought that was hilarious.
And he doesn't deny it.
No, he doesn't.
No,
he knows.
He absolutely knows.
Complete Euro.
I think it would have been like
ingloriously Euro trash.
Maybe a little too weird or adventurous, or people wouldn't get it. But if they actually released like a second soundtrack to the movie that was the rock, the full rock opera that he wrote.
That'd be awesome.
I'd buy it.
Yeah.
I'd go buy the disc.
That would be hilarious.
I'd own it. Became like a DVD of the entire performance.
I don't think they'd go that far.
I think they're planning that for the DVD
Swarsh.
Extras.
That would be hysterical.
That you know, I would say I would rent the movie. But if they actually produce that and put that as a DVD extra, the
you'd
whole rock
it.
Up, I'd buy it.
I'd
buy it.
I'm pregnant.
Pop! She explodes in Dracula babies.
The funny thing was there was a sound to go with it.
The
it
sound
wasn't just you see these babies come out of her. It was...
The sound effects guys had a lot of fun with this movie.
Yeah.
Between the dick slap on the thigh.
Yeah. You think that was sound effect or a microphone?
I don't know.
I don't know. You know, I have to say
sound effect. We've seen his junk. I'm going to go with probably just a microphone.
At first I was going to say sound effect.
There's no way he was not laughing during that scene if that was real.
Yeah.
I can just see the mic guy going, okay, we got precision.
Oh, goddamn, I am not getting paid enough for this.
I saw an interview with that guy. He's like, yeah, you can't show an erect penis in an R-rated movie. But I did have to chub up a little bit. I have a reputation to uphold.
All right, so after the discussion, since Adam seems to believe that having a discussion about a movie with me changes the feeling of...
No, I still enjoyed the movie.
Anybody else, like, what do you think, Dan? You still...
I gotta say, like, I'm happier with it now, okay, after the discussion, but I still probably wouldn't be, like, super happy if I went and paid, like, $8 to see it at a theater. Because his, again, his serious attempts just fall horribly flat for me. And it's, the entirety of the reason I don't like old school at all.
That might be... That
see, I don't take anything about these movies serious at all.
Yeah.
And I just shut the serious side of my brain off at that point.
I just go to be entertained.
Yeah.
If I see a comedy, I just go to be entertained. I mean, yeah, it's just basically...
That's what it is for any media, any genre, I think. Just be entertained.
Oh, I think some films actually beg more for analysis and for criticism.
And that's entertaining in itself.
It is,
but the movie itself doesn't do that for me. Like, for No Country for Old Men is a perfect example. The movie itself gave me squat. I did not care about the movie. The discussion it spawned was twice as entertaining as the movie.
So I think the same thing could be said for...
what about, like, Children
Gone
of Men?
Gone, Baby, Gone. Children of Men is another really good example of the movie.
Really?
Yes.
I loved it.
It was so boring.
I loved it.
Boring?
We'd be here for another, like, 5 hours.
Car battery to the face. What is wrong with you?
It was boring.
Car battery to the
face. See, I didn't think it was boring. I think if one thing was the downfall of Children of Men, it was the ending.
Wait, stop. Have we all seen Children of Men?
Nope.
God damn it.
I'll close.
Can we do an episode?
I was going to do a whole other episode.
Hey, you want to leave the room so we can do an episode?
Yes, go away.
Well, we should just go rent it.
Yeah,
we
watch it
and
watch
do another one.
No, there's no. That's a 3-hour movie.
It's Well, it's hard, isn't it?
Three hours to talk all about it if you haven't just seen it.
No. I have no problem talking about movies I haven't seen in a while.
I can't come up with good examples, though.
Right.
Yeah. The problem with
Are we talking about, like, movies that slap you in the face with their message?
With the dick?
Like, with sound effects?
Like, Crash, I liked the movie, but the message was just so, like, right
in your
here.
Fucking
face.
It's
like, it is.
Yeah,
you know?
I love the
racism
movie.
Racism is bad!
Yeah,
exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
I got it.
It was really enjoyable, but yeah, they really didn't jam.
Everybody's
like, in your Hispanic.
And Babel's another movie like that in the storytelling, but it wasn't as in your face as Crash was.
I haven't seen it. Lions and Lamps was the same way. That's what really reminded
me. I need to watch more movies. I've seen Crash. The rest of this crap,
you don't need to see
that. Well, I was going to say, because, like, from the
podcast, just listen to the podcast. You don't need to watch movies.
I was about to say, I once a week I can give you a recommendation for a movie.
I still haven't seen Gone Baby Gone.
I
have it on my
computer. My feeling about the movie after talking about it is that I think it was funnier than I thought. Watching it when I was in the theater, there were a couple of really good laugh out loud scenes. But there were a lot where everybody was laughing, and I was pretty straight-faced because it didn't get me.
I was there, too.
And I think it's because so many of the scenes, it's very fractured, where the jokes are set up. Like, the whole pig, like, killing the pig scene, that was so separate from everything else that it's so specifically set up, and it's its own capsule, and all the best jokes are encapsulated.
And see, the killing the pig scene, I think that was it. For the joke that it was, that it fell so flat, that should have just been cut. I mean, really, it wasn't
the joke. I think it was one of the better jokes, gags they had.
Here's
the thing. That's because it had a different tone. But once again, it was fractured. It was encapsulated, removed from the story.
I think the actual killing the pig scene was like you're describing it, but I think for its having been there, the little scene where they're, it's not even not even a minute by any means, but where they're carrying the pig out,
that was hilarious. See, I don't think you needed much more. I don't think you needed the scene showing them killing the pig to have the scene.
Right.
I would have showing them
they
walking with
they
it.
Could've,
I think if they just lifted
because,
that one little
because
piece
they
out.
Did. Yeah, I agree because he did set up enough because he was like, hey, come help me cook. So it wouldn't have been. I mean, we didn't this, need the kill.
See, this wouldn't have been any payoff.
This is the. There would have been, though, because you don't need. You don't need to see him
killing the
patient. Actually crying and killing
the patient. You don't assume that he did anything, though. If you just skip
if he's
that
crying,
scene where he's actually
oh, the
saying,
crying,
he's stabbing
true.
The
yeah.
cow and cry, the pig and
but
crying.
If,
it's
but
hilarious.
If, right. No, I agree that scene was funny, but once again, it's so removed from the story, so removed from everything else that happens in the
somebody's
movie,
beeping.
That it's so removed from everything that. All the jokes feel fractured. I think that's what makes the dramatic parts also feel kind of disingenuous because you're not sure what world you're in because they flop back and forth amongst these different.
Am
worlds.
I getting ready to?
Well, yeah, they,
am I supposed to be like?
And they do. They do.
Right
you,
yeah.
They do an interesting storytelling technique where they actually show flashbacks. But they do it in a really weird way.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I thought that was cool.
It was. I mean, I'm not complaining about it.
Scenes
weird.
Was great.
It was very
weird,
lost
different.
Life.
It was.
Yeah.
Well, I've never seen Lost.
So right, let's talk about Lost all the time.
Let's not.
I've never seen it.
Have you seen it?
I've seen, you know what? I fell asleep watching the pilot, then I rewatched the pilot and thought there is nothing here for me and did not watch
it
any farther.
We can do that as
we didn't cut anything just there. Yeah.
Actually, hold on. I don't really want to edit this. Stop this and go ahead and
edit
that right
damn
now.
It. I wouldn't. No. Who cares?
Just write
I think
down
30 seconds.
No one knows what that is.
The secret project. Anyway,
everybody in this room knows what it is.
Everybody in this room knows what it is. Nobody listening to this,
loins.
Which is probably most of the people in this room are the ones listening to this right now.
Sorry, but yeah, it was an enjoyable
Jackass.
Movie. It didn't change my opinion.
That actually makes me wonder if that isn't a reason that I'm not more fond of his movies than their movies in general. Like Superbad. To go back to a great example of his work, it's not like that.
And the
it's
two, and the
just
couple,
funny.
The couple of moments where it is fractured, where it has a flashback about the drawing the dicks all the time.
Yes.
That's
hilarious.
And also the weird dream sequence where he reimagines like the fighting the old lady in
yeah.
the liquor store.
Yeah.
Those stand out because
right.
they because those.
That is not
it's
what's
done
happening
tastefully.
Every
right.
right.
It's
yeah.
not constantly.
Now,
yeah.
every and then, but if you joke. Look at, and I know I keep ragging on it because I effing hate it, but if you go back to old school, that's the problem I have with old school. Serious, he's streaking. Serious, he shoots himself in the neck, which is funny, but then they follow that right back up with an ungodly, depressing little scene of him falling in the pool and nobody cares.
But also in old school, they don't jump. They don't totally jump to a completely different time and location and different people just to give you a joke, just
yeah.
a gag, because it wasn't funny in to begin with.
Yeah.
It's literally like guys sitting around saying, "That's like that one time when I did this." Oh yeah, totally. Like, it's, where
you know
where
one
in
thing
order
though,
to make it funny for you, they have to talk about something that's not in the movie, not part of the story.
Yeah,
and I don't have a problem with that in general, but I have a problem with that being every fucking time.
What was that Ryan Reynolds movie that
Just Friends?
No.
The one where he's at school, Van Wilder?
No, it's the one that just came out.
Where he goes back and the chick who was fat is like hot now.
Almost Maybe?
No, not the comedy, the romance.
It was Just
Almost
Friends.
Maybe.
Was it?
Where he was like a loser in high school and then
no.
became...
No. Almost Maybe.
Almost Maybe, thank you.
He said it like four times, dude.
It's not
no.
Almost Maybe, it's Almost
Phil
Definitely.
Phil couldn't possibly know what he's talking about.
Yeah,
no, it's definitely maybe.
Yeah, definitely maybe.
Oh, Phil, come on, man.
Well, you know I had half of it right.
No.
Better than you, penis.
One thing,
50% doesn't count, Phil.
One thing,
failing.
One thing that I didn't like about... one thing I didn't like about Forgetting Sarah Marshall was how they had to show us flashbacks to make up for the fact that the actors couldn't act contemplation. Because there were scenes... There were two
we don't
scenes.
We know that they couldn't. They never gave them the
no,
chance. To
like,
act
I mean, come on. There's a decent actor can pull off contemplation enough that if somebody says something that you realize that this is a difference in the character between the guy that they're with, the guy that she's with now, and the guy that she was with, the chick that he was with now, and the chick that he was with. Other than doing it for a gag.
You're talking about the scene with the shirt, aren't you? Well, the scene with the shirt. They
the
did
scene
it a couple
with the
times.
Shirt. There was a couple of times they did it though. That
they
was
do
that
the scene,
scene
with the shirt,
and he did it. With the music, when she got him to play the music, and
she's like, "Don't play it again."
She's just like, "Don't play it again." And it was, you know, there was a little bit of a gag factor to that, but there was, I mean, a good actor can pull that off. as witnessed in Definitely Maybe. There
a
was
good
there
writer
was,
director will not write
say
that
this,
in.
And nobody's going to agree with me. But, Thank you. A lot of people, a lot of times, I think they do that for the audience because the audience isn't smart enough to realize
I think
the contemplation.
That's, and I think that's and I think that's a horrible.
On.
I think that's a horrible trend. I think they need to get away from that. Quit talking down to people.
No,
because
no,
that
the
really
common denominator.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, there were almost none of the jokes were like kind of more intellectual. Because like, I'm used to there being lots of those dick jokes constantly.
Yeah.
And then there being like some stuff that not everybody gets. It seemed to me like the stuff where the people were laughing the least was at the dick. Like. We were all laughing pretty hard.
I was laughing really hard.
Well, see, and I'm laughing at
you. Because it wasn't lost amongst other laughter.
Right.
But when there was just dumb stuff happening, like oh, he wakes, you know, the guy says, are those sad tissues or happy tissues? That's like the most intellectual the movie got.
That's true.
That was funny.
That was funny. Okay, one other thing about the music. Did anybody else catch more than words in Hawaiian?
Yes.
When they walk into the bar.
Genius.
I know. That was just genius. All right. Anything else? Anybody got anything else?
I do like the way they bring it full circle where he's naked and hugging the chick at the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was nice.
But it's a nice touch. At the beginning, it's uncomfortable.
Naked dude
and
hugging fully dressed chick.
Yeah,
you know, this has all happened before. It will all happen again.
This is true. You know, I still haven't seen the episode.
Yeah, neither have I.
The circle
oh, damn it, then what are we doing?
Begins.
Let's end this now.
Jerk
let's
faces
go watch
over here, don't watch it.
What is this?
And
screw
you.
I don't wanna.
I'm sorry, I haven't seen any episodes of it. I don't have cable.
We need to go watch it now.
They made Starbuck a woman. I don't give a shit about the show now.
Oh.
Hey, you know what? You know the Starbuck is a woman thing?
Yeah.
Your argument is totally and completely valid because she sucks.
Yeah, that's what I've heard is that the actress is terrible.
No, it's not that the actress isn't terrible. It's the character.
They never made Starbuck a woman because she has a penis.
All right, so are you done over there? I think we're done.
Deep thoughts with Phil.
Deep something.
Okay, thanks for listening. Hopefully you're still listening. Hopefully you will listen to the next episode after hearing
penis.
This one.
Thanks, Phil.
Wow, Phil, it works in the movie.
Phil's scared to see a penis, but he's not scared to say it.
Exactly.
I'll have more reviews.
It's something about the mouth that gets him excited.
Yeah, and Jake is promising reviews. We'll believe it when we see it.
I'm going to throw up that There Will Be Blood review before you guys throw out the episode.
Good, because we haven't recorded it yet.
Yeah, we didn't record it still. So
you probably get a good margin.
you probably have a couple weeks. All right. We'll catch you guys next time.
See ya.
Yeah. We'll be right back.